It's become an annual spring ritual here in Washington for finance ministers to gather, as they will this weekend, for meetings at the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, while protesters outside condemn the impact of global capitalism on the poor. Oxfam International has ventured into the chasm that divides them. The group has released a new study arguing that international trade could help poor countries if the rules were rewritten, NPR's Kathleen Schock reports.
From world leaders like President Bush, praise for trade comes as no surprise.
Trade is the engine of development, and by promoting it, we will help meet the needs of the world's poor.
But when a group like Oxfam says trade could be a powerful motor to reduce poverty, it raises eyebrows and some hackles, especially among some groups that have joined Oxfam in the past in criticizing institutions like the World Bank, the IMF, and the World Trade Organization. Oxfam's report takes a middle ground between what it calls globophiles, who see trade as inherently good for the poor, and globophobes, who see it as inherently bad. Ray Offenheiser is president of Oxfam America.
The debate on globalization has been reduced to a caricature of extreme views. There is not a productive discussion going on about how trade can be linked to development goals and benefit poor people in a meaningful way.
The report says the problem with globalization is that the international trading system is rigged. Oxfam likens the system to a racetrack that forces the weakest athletes to clear the highest hurdles. Offenheiser says the poorest countries typically produce just a few types of goods for export, textiles and food crops, for instance.
And ironically, the tariffs on these commodities from poor countries are oftentimes four times higher than tariffs on commodities coming from wealthy countries in Europe into the United States market.
The report says wealthy countries' trade barriers cost poor countries $100 billion a year, twice as much as they receive in aid. It also chastises rich countries for spending more than $1 billion a day to subsidize farmers, who then grow too much.
So we're producing mountains and lakes of food like corn, milk, and rice, which are being dumped into world markets currently. Now, the effect of this is to drive down the price of food and put poor farmers in a position where they really can't compete. So, in effect, we see the agricultural sector in many of these countries falling apart.
The report accuses the World Bank and IMF of compounding these problems by sometimes forcing poor countries to open their own markets to imports too fast. Despite this and other swipes the report takes at wealthy countries, trading rules, and lending institutions, Oxfam's report has prompted cries of betrayal on the left.
They have ignored the evidence from the past and signed up with these multilateral institutions to promote their agenda.
Anuradha Mittal, co-director of the Institute for Food and Development Policy, says that agenda, which stresses exports, has been disastrous for small family farmers.
These policies have created a culture which have replaced farmers with machinery and big transnational corporations.
Lori Wallach, director of Public Citizens Global Trade Watch, says Oxfam is a high-profile group.
And there's a great upset with the notion that Oxfam and its report will be used to try and steamroller the very countries Oxfam's purporting to represent and to actually undermine the civil society movements in the developing countries who take a different view than Oxfam.
But the most potent opposition to Oxfam's proposals may come from groups in wealthy countries, industries and farmers that fear a new flood of cheap imports, and politicians who represent them. For instance, textile producers have lobbied hard to preserve quotas that limit imports from poor countries, even though the U.S. and European Union have promised to gradually remove them. Phil Twyford, Oxfam's advocacy director, says as a result, the important quotas remain.
And they've removed quotas on things that the developing countries hardly ever export. In the case of the Europeans, for instance, they liberalized the market for parachutes.
And with many workers in wealthy countries already leery of free trade, convincing politicians to channel a lot more business to developing countries may be a challenge. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.